You are the man now. Dog, 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 you are the man now. Dog.
Well, hello, nurse. Welcome to the big check-in. It's the Man Dog Pod. I'm Dan Lippert, and I am looking at the beautiful face of Ryan Rosenberg.
Hey, Dan.
Hi, Ryan.
How you doing, my beautiful friend?
I'm good, my beautiful friend. Chilling. I am, like you said, living my David Fincher life in the video.
Mm-hmm. I like this. New blue
what movie? What other movie is like this? What's the drug movie that has like tint?
Traffic
tint in it.
Traffic.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling.
Yeah. Little Steven Soderbergh. Definitely a filmmaker who wants everyone to know that they are high end. You know,
it's their movie, and they've spent. Yeah. Is this when he does that? Literally putting a gel in front of the lens. I feel like I learned that in a film class, but I don't believe it to be true.
Could be. I don't know.
Because then you're locked into that look if you use that gel, right?
I would think for the movies, they just do it in post. Maybe they shoot it intentionally blue. It's probably the lighting first and foremost, and then the way that they shoot it. The lighting and then the post, but I don't really know. I was also going to say there's little hints of Children of Men, which is my fave, just because it has sort of, it looks a little just flat and sad and hopeless. That's how you look today.
Oh, my God.
No, you look great, but just the blue tint
the
on the... Yes, yes.
We've got to save the baby.
That was a good Clive. Really good Clive. Or was that... What's his name?
That was Clive. It was probably a better Michael Caine if you had to pick one of the two, but it was intended to be Clive.
It sounded a little Michael Caine-ish. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, how the hell are you, buddy? We're just checking in today. No big comedy dreams or anything, but for everybody who just wants to hear Dan and the Rose talk, here you go.
It's so all for you. Yeah, yeah, I don't, I think probably the big crossover between you and I this week is I know we both watched our friends in Golden Arm.
Yes, absolutely. Betsy Sodaro and Mary Holland, of course, starring in their first huge movie that is really focused on them.
Yeah, it was really cool to see.
So fun. Did you like it?
I loved it. I loved how a thing I'm like more aware of is, you know, they're going to be funny, but they were both so natural. They both like really, you just enjoyed watching them on screen and like I believed everything they said and they just felt really like natural and comfortable, which is, I think, very cool.
And it's such a smart movie because it showcases how they are both such stars, but in different ways. Like, you know, Betsy's like a ball of energy and you'll just watch whatever. And then Mary is like really captivating and like even when she's small, you know what I mean? Like, and she plays such a, and in the beginning of the movie, like, such a, I don't know how you would describe it, like sort of like self-contained, not very bold or brave or whatever, to Betsy's very bold and like not at all self-contained. And then it sort of switches a little bit. It's really, really fun to watch.
Yeah.
We've just known them for so long. It's so cool to see that journey. Mary was in our first sketch show, which was cool. And now she's doing huge movies. And Betsy, too. Everybody has known locally. Everybody has known Betsy as like the funniest person ever, you know? And it's so cool to see them both lead their own movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And do it. Yeah. Like you said, just so like perfectly.
They do it really well.
We got to highly recommend that. I'm sure people who listen to this know about it already. But if you don't.
Go check out Golden Arm. It's on Apple TV and Amazon and wherever you get your movies, I think. Give it the big rental. Hey, give it even a purchase. And if you want to Venmo Betsy and Mary, just do that too.
Yeah, send them some money. I think that's just their names on Venmo. I don't know that for a fact. But
don't fact check me, but look it up.
It's, I don't know. It's just like a cool time, I guess, to see... Mm-hmm. Especially like them in their movie, like you said, like not just like showing up in somebody else's movie.
Right.
It's like
They have to carry it.
Piece to showcase them, and they do great. And I thought Eugene and Mary's relationship was really great. Like, I thought really they were sweet. So natural with each other and very sweet. Yeah.
Their, like, little love story scenes were so good. I was like, it's hard to believe that I know both of them and am watching it through that lens, because it just felt like a good part of a cute movie.
Yeah.
It's crazy to see, like, someone that you know in a context that isn't a movie in that movie and it go great.
Yeah. That's cool.
It's going to feel similarly, I think, to when we watch your movie and I'm like, oh, this movie's so good and scary, but also there's Dan.
Yeah, well, I hope so.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I'm very excited for that.
Well, I'm very excited, Dan. You're almost at the end of your big trip that everybody here at Man Dog, both the recording folks and the listening folks, have been well aware of. And I think I can speak for all of us when I say we're excited to have you back full time.
Well, thanks to all of you. I appreciate it. Excited to be back full time. Oh, wow. So, all of you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm super excited to be back. I am, I think, like, roots are more important to me than I even knew. Like, mm-hmm. the, or like totems of naturalness. Like, I think because I wasn't doing the improv episodes of this, like, that you seeing you as a nice totem, but like seeing more friends and like being reconnected. And I did like a different podcast last week and just like had therapy, and it like really grounded me that day to be like, oh, how nice to see. I still have this, my real life that I kind of miss.
Right.
And I feel like a little.
And that you've cultivated a life that you like for yourself, that you're like, I like these things and it's cool to get back to them.
Yeah, that's a good way to think of it too.
It's that's like, beautiful.
Not just cultivate, I really, it's like, I miss my people, I miss my dog, I miss my garden, weird little things.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear about Stella?
No.
She lost her tail and she's been looking for it nonstop.
This is, why wouldn't they tell me this?
I have no idea. I think John, he didn't say this, but my suspicion is he thought it was a churro.
Oh,
and
no.
He took one bite, realized it wasn't, but then was like, well, that was a big bite. I got to sort of finish the job. I don't know why I bit right in the middle. And then he had to sort of keep eating.
Because he eats the churro kind of like a corn. I've all seen Johnny eat a churro.
Each
like
little
a corn.
Ridge down, and then he turns it, and then eats a little ridge. No, I'm sure Stella's fine, other than missing you.
Other than missing me, I bet she does. I miss her, so it better go both ways.
I bet. I bet.
And what was the other thing I wanted to talk about that I've already forgotten? Oh, well. Oh,
the big movie,
you know,
Golden Arm.
Golden Arm. I am listening to, I'm getting back. We'll see if this gets interesting. But I'm getting back into like listening to like very light Jungian stuff.
Mm.
I know we talked about the therapist, couples therapy show that you were listening to. I'm listening to and really enjoying this, like, Robert Bly. This guy, Robert Bly, is like a Jungian poet and I guess speaker. But my friend Lisa had recommended him to me, and I'm listening to, I'm pulling up the name of the book now because I want to get the exact name.
Cool.
What's it called?
Because we were listening
Human
to
Shadow.
The Human Shadow. Interesting.
Yeah, it's a
how
good,
far in
like,
are you? What do you enjoy about
it's,
it?
Well, it's like a, it's almost like it's from the 80s, but it's essentially like a TED Talk, but it's like 3 hours. He basically wrote a book called The Little Shadow, and he's like doing a talk that's like going through the ideas of the book. But so it's like he has like poems that he'll read while he's playing guitar, and then he'll like, you know, talk about quotes, and he kind of talks about. I mean, the big idea that he's kind of like following that I like is that he calls it. Like the shadow, like our bag, like all the stuff we put in our bag for our life that like we're told is not okay, and how that bag gets bigger and bigger, and like how that manifests itself in who we choose to spend our time with, and how who we dislike and why we dislike them, and how that's a disservice to them, because a lot of the time it's like a projection of what's in our own bag that they represent.
Right.
Just a lot of stuff like that is like interesting to kind of be aware of, I guess.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. What jumps out at you? Not to say you have to do a big admission, but like what resonates about the bag thing so much? What was the...
I think how much the things... How much we seek we seek to put the things in our bag on other people that are actually a part of us.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like look in your bag, if you don't integrate with it and realize it's part of you, then it'll come out in like harsh ways. And so it's like, you know, it happened, like sometimes we'll date people who represent all of the stuff that we think we are not.
Mm-hmm.
And at first that's what attracts us to them.
Right.
Because they're all these things, but then it also makes us like frustrated with them because it's like right. things that we're judgmental of and we put in our bag and right. that's why we're not them. And we like, he talks, it's also like a mask. He says like, we give them the mask. Somebody stop mm-hmm. me. But, what is ideal is like you get in touch with those things and you've let those parts of you exist so that then when you find like a partner or a friend or whatever, you're liking them for who they are, not for like what they represent.
Mm-hmm. And you're more of like a whole person rather than a
yeah.
half person, half shadow kind of thing.
Yeah.
Interesting. So it makes more yeah. sense that you would be attracted to someone else who is also a bit more of a whole person.
Yeah, yeah,
totally. Because you see that in yourself or whatever it is. That's cool. Yeah. I like that. That's really cool.
But it's like a very easy listen. It's very easy listening. It's a good talk. And it's like, it's interesting because it's from the 80s. And he talks about things sometimes in like two-dimensional ways that stuff that's like gender politics that I'm curious sometimes how it makes me feel because it's like men are this way, women are this way. But he also acknowledges that it's not that one-to-one, but sometimes you hear stuff and it's like jarring because it's like if someone said this now they yeah. would be
right. Whenever I'm reading stuff like that, I always try to keep in mind of like, well, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah,
like obviously there's something really good here and then there's part of it that we have moved beyond, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean that the main point doesn't still hold or something like
right
that.
It's you know, the heart of the idea.
Right. It's like, well, let me make sure that I'm right about this and also don't let it in. It's like, well, then why read it?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
that's tough. That's
cool. I love that.
My big thing, my big wreck. It makes me think of, you know, like the most, I don't know if you find this happening very often, but at some point when I'm like chatting with people and getting to know them and like have a lot of downtime, it'll happen in like the used to be green room. It'll happen like wherever it's happened in this movie is eventually the conversation of like political correctness or wokeness or canceling people will come up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very interesting, not the idea of all that stuff, but how much that it feels on people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
And like people don't have a way to talk about it. I think like there's always this have you, I don't know. Has it come up much? Does it ever come up for you with people?
Sure. Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It feels like there's always a moment where people kind of like, have to be like, I don't, it comes up and everyone doesn't know how they feel,
mm-hmm.
but you can tell it's like really important to people right now.
Right.
Cause I think a lot of times when like cancel culture will come up, people will write it off and be like, well, it's not a thing. It's not real. You know, like canceling yeah. people isn't real. It's just people getting
repercussions or whatever.
Repercussions, yeah. And it feels sometimes like that'll like shut down the conversation or something. But it's interesting to me how on people's minds it is, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like even mm-hmm. in the sense of like the shadow book of like culturally, what are we projecting? What are we hiding in our own selves that we're projecting onto other people right now?
To cancel someone is exactly what you're talking about in this book of like, you have this thing and I do not, so you have to get out of here.
Right.
Yes. But whether or not that is happening on an actual consequential scale, who knows? But I know what you mean about that. That urge to want to say that someone else is not okay so that you can become okay.
Or yeah, like
define
yeah.
yourself by being the opposite of what you've just cast out or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't know that cancel culture exists on a large scale, but definitely that stuff is being talked about a lot.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It is interesting.
I don't know what my thought is on it is other than like it's interesting to me how often it comes up and how similar the conversation is every time.
Mm-hmm. Well, because it's yeah, I don't know. It's about whether or not people are allowed to say stuff. It's sort mm-hmm. of what the conversation really seems like it's about. But then there's this mm-hmm. label of cancel culture, and it's like, I don't think we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Yeah.
Like,
it like mixes in a lot of ideas all at once.
Right. Some people are talking about cancel culture, and in their mind, they're talking about free speech. Right. Yeah. And then some people are just talking about like appropriate consequences for behavior.
Right.
And it's like we're having two different conversations under the same umbrella. And of course, we're not able to meet on those ideas.
Right.
Because we're disagreeing on the premise even, but we're not acknowledging that.
Which to back to full circle of couples therapy feels like such a thing in relationships.
It's the whole
like,
deal.
Oh, we don't even agree on what we're talking. We think we're talking about the same thing, but we're not on the same page.
You want to win, but we're fighting two different fights, and I want to win mine. Like it feels like, it's very tough, tough. And to think about how much of that is going on in the whole world, everywhere,
all the time, everywhere. You know? Absolutely,
right.
And it's like a struggle for like people who have just like you and I who are like are at the tip of the iceberg of like self-awareness, and imagine like how much of the world is not even there. You know, so it's really going on.
Totally. Totally. All you can really control is yourself, you know? You got to really focus on that. What energy are you bringing to it? That's something that I have had to grow a lot from is like, depending on what the person said to me last, that will have a lot of influence over how I speak next.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, man, I'm not really even choosing what I'm saying. I'm just a reaction to whatever's put in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't want, oh, you're mad. Then I'm more mad and you're more wrong. It's like, I wasn't even mad 2 seconds ago.
Right.
Why did I just do that? Like, why don't I just choose to stay calm like I already was? And if they need to be mad, they can, and we can talk about it. But it's not my job to prove to them that they shouldn't be mad.
Right.
Or that whatever. I just go, okay, you're mad. I'm not. You know, we can talk, but I'm not going to fight you, you know. But I used to love a fight. I used to love having to be correct and making the other person feel wrong. You know what I mean? It's that same thing you were talking about with the shadow stuff of like, just having different beliefs and like not being able to allow space for both of them. It's like, well, then I'm.
Right. It's
like, whatever, man. It was an idea you had once. You can let it go.
Being wrong about one thing doesn't make you a wrong person. Or maybe there is no wrong or right also. Just
there
difference
is no
experience.
Wrong person. Yeah.
Yeah. In those circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's good to grow. It's embarrassing to look backwards sometimes.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, sometimes I'll be like judgmental of somebody who's like younger than me or like on a different whatever journey. Mm-hmm. And I'll have to remind myself, like, you know, you're not mad at them. You're mad at you. Like that was you 10 years ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, sometimes I just assume that I always was the way I am now.
Mm-hmm. Well, they just have nothing to do with you. You're making the association.
Yeah.
They're this way. I'm this way. Yeah. That's related. And one of us is a problem. It's like, nope, you're both just one of the 7 billion people living on Earth. And all the association is just ego stuff. But did we both were listening to, what was the podcast? This Jungian Life? Is that what that was?
Yeah, I haven't listened to a ton of those. Did you like it?
I listened to like five or six.
Yeah, she was the one that introduced that to me as well. So, you listened to a few?
I listened to a few that the subject seemed to apply to something I was interested in, you know? And they were really great, but they're definitely, nerdy is not the right way, but like, if you're not already into that kind of stuff, it might be a little bit like dorky or hard to approach. Cause they're like, let's look at the myth of this and let's look at the, and it, there's just like a bunch of reading that I feel like you need before you dive into it. But
it made me feel a little bit. I mean, here we are with my bag and my projections, but they felt a little bit like the typical stereotype, especially the guy, or is it the other two guys? I can't remember, but like the typical stereotype of a Jungian psychologist, like a person who would say, I'm an analyst, and would be just miserable at a dinner party type of person. And so I think that like I kept like feeling that way as I listened to them talk, especially that guy.
Yeah.
In a way that might not even be true about him, but it was like the Mighty Mighty Boston's impression that I get.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes with people like that, it's like maybe you're just really far evolved, but you feel different enough from the rest of us that it feels uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you may have taken being an analyst so far that you like now don't consider yourself one of the rest of us. Sometimes right. That's what it's like. You may be really smart, but you're still us. You're still, you know what I mean? Like you have to see that you're making us feel away, and that has to matter. Or maybe it doesn't. Maybe they're whatever.
Right.
I think that's an interesting thing where you take the like observer role, but then you forget that you're also one of the people. You're not just someone outside of and different from everybody you're observing. That was a big lesson for me.
Yeah.
Like
it reminds, oh, go ahead.
People can see you too. You know what I mean? You're not just like neutral. You are also in the world observable the way that everybody else is. And the way that you're observing everybody else, all of those things apply to yourself as well. You know, just because you choose that you're the observer doesn't mean that you don't have to live up to all the critical things you're saying to everybody else, basically.
100%. Yeah. It does, like you said, it doesn't make you not living in reaction to others still doesn't mean that you're invisible while you're reacting. Everyone can see that you're doing that. And,
the truth is you're not living in reaction to. That's how you have, but people still are reacting to you as well. Like you can never get away from that. You're never just one side. I feel like that's like a little bit of the, like the billionaire thing with like Bill Gates and all those guys. They're like, well, if you understand the economy of it, giving money to this just doesn't work. It has to like build itself. It's whatever. And it's like, I guess, but it seems like you view yourself as the observer of the system rather than the most key part.
Right.
Which is how the rest of us view you.
Right.
Like you're not outside smarter than all of us. You just have all the money. So it's like you don't get to just say that you're smart and see the system, but not see yourself as part of it. Like you're the huge part of it. And that's the thing that that feels hard to even have a discussion about with those guys, especially since I've never met one.
But the only thing holding me back is that part of the discussion. Not actually meeting them and talking to them.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's such a funny... the fact that you would ever take anyone's word who it is either consciously or subconsciously in their stake to continue the world being the same way it is.
Right. Right. Totally. Like, we're all talking about change and you're going, actually, that doesn't work. It's like, you are the part that doesn't work.
Yeah.
If we took you out and redistributed all that, it would totally work. And that's what we're talking about. But you're saying that doesn't work because of, again, your position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like letting the person who won the game continue to write the rules. And so that they can keep winning it. Ah, these bastards with all their money.
I think about that stuff all the
time. Imagine having...
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I imagine having it all the time. I would love it. I don't even want the money or the power. I just want to have to... I love the idea of being able to just take my mind off things for a while, just to have enough to like not worry about what I do. You know what I mean? Like, what am I going to do next month? And what career am I building? And it would just be so nice to be like, you're just living now, you know?
Yeah.
That's the dream for me.
Yeah. Whether or not money can buy happiness, it can definitely buy comfort.
Yeah. It can definitely buy not having to work your ass off for someone else. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing to me. Like, if I'm doing someone else's life for them, that's what I don't want. I don't want to have to do all the work so that someone else gets a better life. It's like, no, I want to be that person. I want to be the exploitative person. What are you looking forward to this week? Are you still shooting? Are you still working?
Yeah, I got a long day this week, but then mostly it's open and I don't really know what I'm looking for. I'll probably explore the city a little bit. I forgot that. I don't know if I can see where I am, but it doesn't matter. But there's some... I might explore the food I have been eating. I moved to a new city. We're not in the like remote location we were in. So now I can get some real food. Might get a little steak or something like that.
You deserve it, my man. You deserve it.
There, you know, I'm thinking a little bit. I have been, you know, my stomach has been just a nightmare. So I'm thinking of
fucked.
Absolutely. My stomach's been fucked. So I'm thinking of going even maybe fully plant-based for a minute, probably when I get back to LA, and just trying to reset and see, like, is this something wrong with me 100%, or am I just, is my diet just all over the place right now?
Right. I was going to say, you have a little kitchenette. Did you do any cooking at home, as it were?
The other place did not have a kitchenette. Bless you.
Thank but you. This and you were place, there longer,
right? Yes, I was there for a month. This place now, I've got, bless you.
Thank you.
2 weeks here. So I might try to do a little pasta. I probably won't do any major cooking, but I'll probably hit up a Trader J's and get some of their like easy pan and microwave stuff.
Yeah, the like meal for one Trader Joe's stuff, which is great.
They really nailed that vibe of thing. They know their customer. I mean, it's a lot of families also, but a lot of people, especially in LA, Trader Joe's is just like, live alone, need to eat after a long day. But I also don't want it to always be like a burrito.
Right. I don't always want it to be a frozen burrito, but it's got to have a vegetable maybe. Yeah. Got to at least have that option.
Did you do Trader Joe's much when you were in college? Like, I feel like I didn't, that type of stuff would have been helpful for me, but maybe it wasn't as big or it seemed too expensive at the time. I don't know.
I think in college I just had like no skills and I didn't imagine that I could get them. So I was like, I gotta either eat out or like rice, you know, like what's stuff that just takes one step.
Yeah.
Mac and cheese, right? Like what can I boil or put in the George Foreman grill?
Mm-hmm.
Which I miss.
Foreman. Let's get you a Foreman.
You know what Foremans are really good for? My buddy and I in high school, shout out to Fees, we used to make, we were like, not famous for, but to us, we would spend the night at each other's house and then just make a huge breakfast the next day just for like whoever of us that was over. And I think it was just, we felt very adult and we're like, we're not just going to have cereal. We're going to make like bacon and eggs. And we always had those little hash brown patties, you know, the like rectangle ones. And we used to throw those things in the Foreman and just let them crisp forever. And oh my God, they were so good. So good. Oh, mic drop for the hash brown.
That is, I mean, come on.
Oh. I'm not a huge Foreman stan or anything. I mean, it'll cook a piece of chicken nice or whatever. But if you got those little hash brown patties, they're the perfect thing because it cooks them from both sides. They get wickedy crispy.
Wickedy.
And it's just great.
I'll tell you, those patties, because I think for me and maybe for you, much how Big Tobacco might hook somebody young with a vape or something like that, McDonald's hooked me on those rectangular patties young age. I think probably my most positive food association was getting those hash browns at McDonald's and putting them inside my sandwich in my McDonald's. Well, you get two. You put one in the sandwich, but you also just want to bite into a crispy one.
You got to have a crispy boy on the side, and I'm not talking to Bud Light. But we would go like maybe twice a month ever since I could like drive in high school. You know, your freshman year, beginning of sophomore year, you can't really drive. And then I got my car, and I would drive two of my friends to school because it was fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And twice a month, maybe more, we would like, hey, should I come 15 minutes early? And we swing by McDonald's on the way.
Yeah.
And just like one of my friends, again, Fees, shout out to Fees, my best buddy from high school. He would just get hash browns. He would get like four hash browns just go to school. No sandwich, no nothing. And be like, you sure you don't want like something substantial? He's like, no, this is what it is. And I miss him.
Fees. I can't believe you guys didn't do that every day, twice a month. I mean,
I know. What was the wrong direction? So it was it wasn't even on the way to school. It was like I would have to pick him up and then we'd have to go out and then back past his house. So it felt crazy to do too often, and it was a nice treat every once in a while. But we would stop at 7-Eleven on the way home from school very often, get a Slurpee, fill up some gas, maybe a hot dog. I was usually the only one getting a hot dog, and I would also get made fun of for it, but but it was fun.
Why? Because it was like we just had lunch a couple hours ago, vibe?
Or you're pretty quick with it. Yeah, you're pretty quick with it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't get a hot dog all the time, but I think that was sort of the thing of like, do you really need a hot dog at whatever, 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah, and it's not like a nice juicy plump frank you're getting here.
Well, they're not that bad.
No,
I mean, it was Slurpee. Slurpee was the real reason to go.
Oh, yeah, and we were Slurpee heads.
God, I remember, it's how long ago, I'm dating myself here, but I could get gas for less than 99 cents a gallon. Wow. It was crazy. I would get like 89 cents, 99 cents a gallon. I remember it was like right around a dollar in my town.
That's crazy.
So crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah,
I wonder if it was because it was like the suburbs and there was like a lot of gas stations and it wasn't like in LA. It's like if it's close to the freeway, it's a dollar more.
Right. Yeah. Because you just have to go to that one.
Right.
If I remember it being like $1.20, $1.30 for us, something like that. We had by our school on the one corner was the Burger King. Other corner was the McDonald's. And then I think a Taco Bell maybe. And then a little down the street was the 7-Eleven. But yeah, we would do the Slurpee. The Slurpee and the Gatorade would be the big post. We would play basketball on the outdoor courts and then we'd hit the Slurpees.
That's nice.
I guess I didn't do fast food like crazy. My family was a Wiener Schnitzel family. That was like our Sunday, like
the only one I've ever known.
Yeah, I think so.
I've never known a Wiener Schnitzel family. I know people who have had Wiener Schnitzel for sure, but I love that. I love that you were a family about it.
Yeah, I would get the number 4 bacon, chicken bacon ranch, Dr. Pepper, and a chili cheese fries every time we did that. God, those chili cheese fries.
Chicken bacon ranch and a chili cheese fries. That sounds so rich.
Yeah. It's a crazy thing to eat regularly.
Right.
And then they took the chicken bacon ranch off the menu, which was a huge insult.
I was going to say, it doesn't even sound like something I'm from. Oh, my God. Look at this man's hair. Watch the video, folks. Dan's got a nice strand going right down the nose. Pretty beautiful.
I mean, with a little lingering hair like this, I might be a regular quail.
Oh, my God. I was going to say Jared Leto. Oh, my God. Is that the Joker?
Yeah, I'm kind of twisted. A little bit sick.
You're very twisted. I don't know. Yeah, you're very twisted.
Well, I hate Batman. That's my main thing.
That'll twist you up, I guess.
Pisses me off. Yeah. It makes me feel a little sick.
Yeah.
Well, I feel checked in, my man.
I feel checked in, too. It's always great to see you, Dan, and I hope it's as fun for our audience to hear us catch up and just have a little friendship together as it is for me and you. It is very nice, especially since you've been away. It really is like we didn't see each other way more during pandemic, but it is more because I know you're physically further away. I think we've said this, but it feels stranger, so it's a nice thing.
Something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if we wouldn't be seeing each other in person, it still feels like the fact of not knowing we can't makes it feel
right.
More of a missing.
Right, yeah. But
and
hey.
Now we would be probably hanging in person.
I'm glad to see you're doing well. I'm glad to see you've booked yourself in your second movie, the David Fincher film Hotel Podcaster. And you're looking good.
It's going to be a great movie. It's me podcasting from my room, and Jesse Eisenberg is the housekeeping guy that I have a torrid affair with. A
lot of sort of similar scenes with that.
Very similar.
Kind of one shot, this movie.
Yeah, it's a one shotter. It's a winner, and we're doing it in a day, I think. And Fincher is not attached necessarily yet, but we got his camera look. So.
Oh, and it's an iPhone or it's a real camera?
Oh, what are the ones that are, you hold it in your hand.
A handy cam?
Handheld. It's
a Sony handy cam from 1998?
Yeah, so it'll be playing anywhere. You can watch it anywhere that takes DV or has a DV connection.
You can watch it anywhere that has an old TV.
Coming to grandma's house near you.
Coming to one large pixel near you.
Now, what is this? Is this 1080 or is this 1x1?
Is this 1080? Well, Dan, I love you, buddy. It's good to talk to you,
and I
can't wait to hang later this week. Until then, just take care of yourself and have a good one.
Oh, take care of yourself and have a good one as well. Thank you. Okay.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.